Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Chris, who's here to talk with us about principles related to supporting practice. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, Lakota. Thank you.
Yeah.
That sounds like a huge topic.
No kidding, don't you think? Yeah, what a rich place to explore, huh?
Yeah. Well, we can get started in 10 minutes, but I'll bet there's way more than we'll get to. So.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Yeah, just kind of tip of the iceberg and just beginning the conversation. But gosh, what fun to begin looking at it.
Yeah. Yep. And if you can imagine, I actually have a place to begin. Shall I launch in?
Yeah, please. Wonderful, yeah.
Please do. Great. So what drops in for me with supporting practice, one of the first things is, and one of the things that I really do so appreciate about practice is that we're always offered an experience. So no matter what kind of an event we're coming to, that's where the real learning happens, is in an experience. And so all of spiritual practice is experiential. And it seems to me with supporting practice that it's the same thing, that the way that that this practice does that, we're offered an experience, or an experience is being pointed to.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Everything in practice, we're always being offered an experience, or an experience is being pointed to. And that's in the workshops and retreats we might attend, but even it sounds like in the opportunity to support practice.
Exactly. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned, you know, all of the various opportunities that we have. So something like where I live, there's a local meditation group. There's no suggested donation for that, as well as we all know, on retreats. Same thing, the registration pledge pays for the costs of the retreat, but there's no suggested donation for, the donation that would keep the teachings going, that would make practice available to others in the future, to myself and others in the future. And so for me, that's the place. That's the place that begins to point at that experience that's being offered or pointed to.
Yeah. The fact that at a local sitting group and even on retreats, that the registration pledge, it covers the basic cost of the retreat, but not the support of the practice, and that part is kind of left open-ended somewhat. That there's no suggested donation, and it sounds like a great jumping off place to explore that kind of inquiry around those principles about supporting practice, huh?
You said it exactly. Yeah, that's precisely where I was going with it, that it requires me to look for myself to see what is so. And part of the experience in that for me is has to do with giving and receiving, of course. And that, if I speak for myself, then, let me step back. If I speak for myself, I can look and see that I do pretty well with giving, but that receiving is more of a challenge for me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, so you notice in your experience that giving, pretty easy to get there. The receiving is a little more challenging.
Right. And I would project that there's a number of people on this call that could relate to that kind of an experience or process.
Yeah.
And then others that can relate to the other side of it, where perhaps receiving is easy, but giving might be more of a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, the place that we're being pointed to, or the experience that is available, is that giving and receiving are essentially one process, one flow, and not two separate things. There's no separation between those two in my experience.
Wow. What a great place to get to. And look at that experience that we're being offered an opportunity to have, is that giving and receiving are not two different experiences. It's one thing, giving, receiving.
Yeah. And of course, egocentric karmic conditioning would love to split those, you know, into separate parts. The image I have is one of a garden hose. And if there's water coming in on one side, there's water going in on the other end. And it feels to me like it's that simple. In practice, then, right? I mean, it's so obvious in that place that that's one process. There's just one thing going on, that the water's moving in and moving out, all in one continuous movement. It seems like that's the opportunity to move into that place in terms of the life force coming through the human or coming through me, really feeling that life force as it comes through.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, to have the opportunity just to feel that life force just moving through, it sounds like, unimpeded.
Yeah.
That, like, with that wonderful image of the garden hose, that there's the water coming through, moving through unimpeded, and then flowing out. It's just all one process.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, it sure seems so to me. And, of course, you know, conditioning might be in there crimping the hose in certain locations. There's a little ways that it can, right, and pound in little taps every now and then to get at that energy and influence in some way. There's just real magic as I practice moving towards that experience, I would say, and that as I get closer to it, it becomes clear that life can really make all of those decisions about how to support practice. So it just automatically, you know, in that really magical way that life does this kind of a thing, it takes into account, you know, my financial situation, what kind of time I have, where I am in practice, the financial situation, well-being of the monastery, what retreats are available, what practice opportunities are available, kind of sorts all that out. Allows that giving and receiving is one process to support the human and support practice all in one fell swoop, I guess is how I would describe it.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. As you were talking about that, I was just, that wonderful image of the hose with that free flowing of resources, of love, and of information too. It sounds like as you described, conditioning can get in there and kind of crimp the hose. And as you were talking about that, I was picturing, you know, all the conditioned conversation that the voices want to get into about, you know, how much to donate or what this means or all that kind of stuff. And sounds like not even necessary that you can relax, uncrimp the hose, open up that channel and just let that information from life come in. And it sounds like the way you were describing it, when that information comes in, it's perfectly adequate. There's all the information you need. And it sounds really compassionate that it takes into account the human being and the life circumstances, and all that information is right there available.
Yeah. Boy, that's really well stated. And as you're saying that, what's dropping in is it's always appropriate to circumstances, like you say. It just seems like it's always on target in that way. So
that's
great.
Always
the other
on target.
Expression that drops in is we give through the same opening through which we receive. Feels like that's right in line with that.
I love that. We give through the same opening through which we receive. Yeah.
So again, one and the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other one that drops in, that wonderful bumper sticker wisdom, that is so my experience, that the more we give, the more we get. That is so my experience. And so deeply grateful for having the opportunity to be able to participate and give in this way, to be able, it's almost like being offered this opportunity to have my own experience of what it feels like to receive in the act of giving.
Yep. Boy, that's great. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. How closely tied those two are together.
Yeah, they really are. Gosh.
And then some of what happens with that is, since we're offered supporting practice as an experience like that, is and people can probably look to see for themselves how conditioned mind is going to start to relate to that. I think one of the places that that folks can go or can be led into is, since there's never a time in which we say, okay, you've had an experience, give us your money, something like that, there can be an assumption that things are actually fine financially,
mm-hmm.
that if money mm-hmm. was needed, then we would ask in that kind of direct way. And, part of the conversation about supporting practice, I think, includes that, that's not what we're going for.
Boy. And as you were talking about that, what was coming in for me was just seeing, the generosity with which life gives us these opportunities to have these experiences.
Yeah.
And the one that I'm seeing yeah. here is just an incredible opportunity to say thank you to that
yeah.
gratitude wants to give kind of place to practice stepping into that role wherever I'm at in practice of taking care of the practice that takes such good care of me, taking responsibility for that practice in whatever role is appropriate for me right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, that's great. Yeah.
Gosh, such a great topic. It's, like you said before, so rich. I'm sure we could explore this for all kinds of time, but I see we're getting close to the end of our time here. Is there anything you'd like to add before we go?
You know, Lakota, I think I had 3 points that I wanted to make, and we got to the first one. So perhaps we should stop where we are, we can take up this conversation at some other times, too.
I love it. Yeah, to be continued. Well, thanks again, Chris, for being with us.
Thank you, Lakota. Muchly appreciated.
Okay. Yeah, take care.
Take care. Yep. Bye-bye.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lakota, and thank you, Chris. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
Good. Great. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Exciting times. Love that conversation. Hope those guys do it again.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll hear points 2 and 3 then.
Exactly. That was just one. My gosh. And, of course, we're starting a retreat this afternoon, our celebration of spring. And Mother Nature is taking such good care of us with a torrential downpour and thunderstorms and all of that sort of thing to celebrate with. So, yeah, big, exciting times.
Great. Can I make one comment about that conversation?
Yes, please.
What I was seeing is that sort of looking at the fundamental illusion of separation, and when it becomes my practice, and I'm not just a consumer of it, but, you know, it's mine, and I want to see that it lasts, and it's here for my kids and my grandkids and everyone else's family, then it becomes more personal in the best kind of way. And,
yeah.
you know, I do want to support it, and I want to do my part, and which means to give to the best of my abilities without letting self-hate have a conversation about how much it is.
Yeah, without letting any conversation and conditioned mind go on about what you do, how much
yes.
you give. Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's really none of self-hate's business.
Yeah.
And that thing that we've always said about financial support for practice is that it changes the same way everything else
yes.
changes in life.
Yes.
That sometimes we're quite flush and we can give lots, and then there are other times when we're
yes.
not, and so we give according to that. And if that's what we're doing, always the best we can do to support what supports us, then the amount is irrelevant. And it's that same process that we talk about with everything in practice, right? Sometimes you know, I'm just having a heck of a time. But you're really centered and just, you know, you can just take on more and do more and be more present and that sort of thing. And so it all balances out because we are all one and we are doing this together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Great. Shall I jump into announcements here?
Yes, please.
Okay. Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present. And the next quarter begins April 15th. And coming up even sooner, a new email class with you, Sherry, starting April 4th, will assist in the exploration of beliefs and assumptions, karmic tendencies, and identities that prevent us from accessing unconditional love and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
The class will ask you to explore the context from which it is possible to see through the eyes of love.
Mm. And that's that Socratic one that we were talking about. So it's each individual, we're going to have an individual conversation with each person who's in the class. So,
yes.
Excited about that. I love those.
Great. For the courageous work of ending self-hate and finding compassion for yourself and others, join the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, April 26th through May 3rd at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This foundational retreat is perfect for awareness practice beginners as well as experienced practitioners.
Hmm. It's a good one.
Yes. The process of fear is how our life energy is used by ego to maintain the ego. Join Sherry and Ashwini in a powerful experience of going beyond the limits of fear at the Transcending Fear Retreat, May 15 through 20th in North Carolina. It's time to break free of the control imposed by egocentric karmic conditioning / self-hate and to practice life's joy.
Yes, indeed it is, isn't it?
Yes.
When is it not a good time to do that? And as we get these little impediments such as fear and self-hatred, as we move those out of the way, all of it gets much, much easier, doesn't it?
Yes, much clearer.
Yeah, yeah.
And for these and other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make guest show by pressing *6 and then 1. And that will be your conversation on one topic in about 5 minutes.
Mm. All right.
Okay. You ready,
Sherry?
Here
we go.
Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi there, this is Laura from Pennsylvania.
Well, hello.
Hello,
how are you doing?
I'm doing really well, how are you?
Excellent, thank you. What's going on?
Good. Well, let me see. I have been wanting to call in about this topic for a long time, and I thought I had a question about it, but the more I sit with it and I'm becoming more aware of it, I guess I'm more just calling to report what's going on without asking for advice or a question.
I never give advice. You know that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. I never give advice. And people think I'm kidding, but it's true. I don't give advice. So
right.
if it's helpful, then a person says where they are, and I suggest some other places that they might look. And
yeah,
and if they want to, they can. If they don't want to, they don't have to. No hard feelings.
Yeah. And I've also been listening intently to the archives, trying to find somebody who's going through the exact same thing that I've been going through to try to avoid having to call about this. But,
why is this? Now, why would you not want to call, and why would you not want to have input?
Well, because I guess because the content, it just, it's uncomfortable.
I see.
Yeah.
Not something you want to shout out on the radio?
Yeah, right. And I guess just generally, my husband has a drug addiction. And, excuse me. It's been something that has been going on for a long time. As you can tell, it's painful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And actually, I was thinking about it, and I think it's kind of what brought me to your awareness practice, the awareness practice, 3-4 years ago or so, because I found myself really depressed and wondering what's wrong with me and all this other stuff. And I had run into a friend who kind of guided me towards your depression book, and I read that, and I was like, oh, my goodness, the light went on, and I was like, okay, I got this.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it made a lot of sense. And so then, since then, I've worked through a lot of, you know, accepting the way it is and learning to love him unconditionally and, you know, in and out of the dark room. You know, I've been kind of all over the place trying to deal with this or live with it. Lately, I've been even more aware of where I am with it, or just bring, I guess I'm just being more aware of what's going on and learning how to take care of the person going through this. I'm having more compassion for myself and not beating myself up for it.
Not letting those negative voices beat you up for how you're handling an extremely difficult situation.
Right. So, yeah, I guess I've just been...
And let me ask you this. I can guess that this must have a huge impact on you emotionally.
Yeah.
And it, does it also affect you physically? I mean, in the sense that is this somebody who can't be effective in work or can't hold down a job, or it's a very expensive habit, or
I would say he's a functional addict. I would say nobody really knows except for those who are closest to him. He's a fully functioning person, and I, for the most, you know, he's a good father. He's a good husband. He's a good man.
And does he want to be an addict?
No, and that's kind of where we're at right now. I mean, for years he's been saying that he can figure it out on his own, and he would go. He's gone maybe 2 to 4 weeks without it, and then, you know, he goes back to it. But now we're working with a counselor, an addiction counselor, and I'm seeing some really good changes, and I'm getting some help through that too. But yeah, that's where we're at right now, is him seeing a counselor and bringing some more light to the situation. And he's feeling very helpful. And yeah, he does not want to be addicted.
Mm-hmm.
He does not want to be doing what he's doing, and because he sees the effects on me and our relationship.
Well, and on him.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, I don't know of an addiction that a person can have that eventually isn't going to take
yes.
them out.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's as aware of how it affects him as much. Well, I mean, to a certain extent, yeah. But I think he's becoming more and more aware of it as the counselor is talking to him and bringing some light to his some light to it that hadn't been brought to you before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you know the work of Dr. Daniel Amen. He does brain scanning, and he does some interesting brain scans of people who abuse various substances.
Mm-hmm.
It's sobering to see what physically happens to the brain over time with various kinds of substances.
I would like to say that I can see things or think some of his processing or the way he talks. Sometimes I wonder how much of it's brain damage or if he's just that way, you know. There's
mm-hmm.
some things that I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Well, at some point you might pull out those photos and just take them along to take them along to the counseling session. And because one of the things that Dr. Amen talks about is the number of people who could not quit whatever it was that they were doing, and they saw the pictures and they were able to quit because literally there are holes in your brain, and they don't fill in. You know, it's not like, well, I'll quit and everything. Or, you know, then I'll. I mean, there are a lot of things that we can do to the body, and the body will go a long ways to repairing itself. But there's some things that aren't going to be repaired. So,
yeah, it's pretty scary. It really is.
It is. It is. It's very scary, and it's more scary. I think for people in your position who loves somebody who is in that place, much more so than the person who is in that place, who feels like, fine, I can, whatever it is, whatever the rationalizations are. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think that's what I've been trying to live with, I guess, for the past several years. And, you know, not everything is a bad thing. Like, it's just that this one thing keeps coming up. I was listening to one of my recordings, and it happened to be from, I think, 3 years ago. And it was pretty much the same thing that I go through today. And
what is that exactly? Because what I'm wondering now is, how much of it is the situation and how much of it is the voices in conditioned mind wanting to make something in particular of this, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Some of it's the situation, how he repeats himself, or he keeps going back to the habit. I think also the self-beatings are kind of similar. Recently I got really caught up in it, in the beatings of, you know, how could you have not seen this coming? How could you be married?
This is the voices in your head beating you up.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. So I guess I feel like that's what comes up more often when he has little relapses, is I have to fend off these voices, is what it feels like. You know, it's like exhausting. That's kind of what keeps
You know, this is now we're at a very interesting juncture here, So shall I give a little encouragement of some place to look?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because there's, at a certain point, everything we're all up against is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate wants to make this or this or this different. Mm-hmm. And like there are different rules for it, because this is about money, and this is about sex, and this is about addiction, and this is about parents, and this is about children, and this is about work, right? But really, when we step back from it, we realize that it's all the same process. So in a nutshell, that process is things are as they are, and we have two choices. We can either be present to what is and use it as a workshop to take ourselves from suffering to the unconditional, or we can stay stuck in the content and mire ourselves deeper and deeper into suffering. And that's true for all of us, right? All the time. And whether it's a little tiny thing or it's a giant, huge thing.
Right.
The rules are all the same.
Yeah. Yeah, I was hearing that coming up as I was listening to archives, you know, when I'm trying to hear other people going through an addiction problem, or I wasn't hearing anybody with this addiction problem, but what was coming up for me was that it's the process. I was starting to gather information from other people's questions and the whole process of it. And it finally like clicked, like last week, I think it was. It was like, oh, I don't need to hear someone else going through an addiction problem. I just need to keep listening to the process. And it's helped so much. These past couple weeks have been really, really good. I think along with the counseling and seeing that he is really making an effort to help himself.
But here's the thing. This is the difference. This is where I think awareness practice really takes hold. Because whether he does or doesn't, you have a choice to be free.
Right.
If your well-being is tied to his addiction, then you're as much an addict as he is.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if you realize... He may quit. He may not. You have no control over it whatsoever. But what you can do is decide how you're going to be in your life.
Right. Yeah.
Because otherwise we get into a parallel of, you know, as soon as we have enough money, then life will be okay. What fills in that blank is just endless.
Yeah.
And what we're required to do is find our well-being right here, right now, with this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we do that, then it really doesn't matter. Now, we still hope he quits. Right? We still hope he gets to the other side of it. God knows we do. But if he doesn't, you're not paying the price for it.
Right.
And it's not unloving. You know, the voices would say, well, but if you can't. No, it's not unloving at all. Because another kind of a little image that can go with it is, somebody is drowning, and you throwing your arms around their neck and screaming, oh, please don't, please don't, please don't, is not going to help them.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I needed to hear that. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Thank you. You save you. And then one person will be in the unconditional. And that's a place that becomes very attractive to others. But if nobody mm-hmm. goes there, then it's not available to anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Will you let me know,
thank you
okay?
so much. Yeah, I'll let
you
know.
Oh, you are so welcome. All right. Take good care. Right.
Thank you, too. Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. That was a powerful conversation, Sherry.
We sometimes forget that, huh?
Yes,
what were you going to say, Michael?
That I have one person to save. I mean, I love everybody,
yes.
of course, and
yes.
one person to save. And in doing that, I offer, a role model for what's possible.
That's right. And if you don't save him, nobody gets saved. It's
yeah,
not like
no
you not
model.
Saving him is going to help anybody else.
Yes.
It won't. Yeah.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah, so true. So true.
Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, Sherry, Michael. It's Carrie from the UK.
Oh, hello.
Hi. Hello.
What's going on with you?
Well, strangely, following on from the last caller, I just had my Zen Awareness coaching today. And was encouraged to call in about my issue, which is very similar in many respects to the last caller. I'm having an awful insomnia at the moment for months and months and months, and I'm on my knees with it, and it's over my relationship. And I'm not sure where conditioning or what it is, but it's waking me up in the night. And keeping me awake with these awful feelings of it's not right, I need to get out, I can't get out at the moment. I've tried recording and listening, and I mainly get a lot of content and how I'm feeling about the content.
Okay, so then let me stop you right there. What? Then you're not doing recording and listening.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Well, sometimes
yeah.
I'll get...
You know...
I'll get, sometimes I'll get, that I need to create a good life for myself. Things like that. And do lots of yoga. But it's in my subconscious. This is what I wanted to ask you about. It's like it's eating me up and it's stopping me sleeping.
And you know that that's what it is. It's not anything physiological. You don't have any nervous system out of whack things. You're really clear that this wakes you up into these awful stories, and then you can watch your body respond to it and you're wide awake and can't sleep.
Because as I'm waking up, that's what's in my mind. As I'm sleeping, as I'm waking, that is the thing that's there.
Okay.
It's all
now,
I'm waking up.
Now tell me this: why can't you leave this relationship?
Because I'm quite dependent on it, and he's helping me a lot, and we're both socially isolated. So it would be, it's like I'm in between a rock and a hard place. If I leave, I'm going to be in a terrible space. And if I stay, I mean, there's a lot of good in it. But I'm hung up on one or two areas big time.
Okay. Is it an abusive relationship, may I ask?
I don't know if it is or not. He's not sharing big parts of his life with me that I would want to share in a relationship. But he's very happy with that. He's very, very happy with that. And
he's really happy in the relationship, and you're so miserable you haven't slept in months.
Exactly.
Wow. All right. Gosh, I hope you put a kibosh on that really soon. And I'm hearing for right now, you are choosing to stay in the relationship.
I am.
Okay. All right. Then here's the thing. You have not yet started with recording and listening, which is very, very good news, okay? Because if what you had been doing is what recording and listening is, then we would have to conclude recording and listening doesn't work.
Right.
But it does work. It does work. Okay. So the thing that you never, ever want to do is let that negativity that's in conditioned mind get hold of your recorder.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. Okay. Now there is a technique that we have with the two-handed recording, but not for you, not now, because you know what that person is saying about how she feels and what her life is like, and you're choosing to stay in this relationship. So what's going to be required of you is to learn to turn your attention away from that negative story and conditioned mind and get it into the present. Okay? And the recordings will do that for you, but they are not recordings about what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know that?
I don't quite understand that. I am recording this.
okay. Yes. Good. Okay. So, what are there things in life that you enjoy?
I have to say that my life is quite caught up in the relationship. We do a lot together. And I don't have a lot of time to enjoy things by myself.
Okay. Do you enjoy the things that you do together?
I'm so tired. This is the thing that I'm now can't see positive things. We enjoy our time together, but I have this underlying stress all the time. Because I know
okay.
that something isn't right for me.
You know that, you know what?
That something isn't right for me. What he's choosing to do isn't right for me. He doesn't say it's addiction. He's very, very happy with it. But for me, I would say it is.
So you feel like he has an addiction?
I don't think it's, I have the right to say that, but I would say, my feeling is that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were behaving in that way, it would be an addiction.
Yeah. But I think that what classifies an addiction is you don't really want to be doing it, whereas he does.
I think there are tons of people who are addicted to things that they want to be doing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it very much depends on, so, you know, as we break things down in this practice, there's center, there's your heart, and there's ego. And ego is happily addicted, happy to have a person addicted to things that simply make them feel bad. So addiction can be an entire range of things. People can want to, an alarming number of human beings are addicted to pornography. And it can it will destroy their relationships, it will destroy their lives, it will destroy everything about them. Do they want to do it? You can't tear them away from it.
Well, this is what it is, Sherry.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah. And so, And so the you're right. You're in exactly the same place as the previous caller, right?
Yeah.
Because your partner has, if we call it an addiction or we don't call it addiction, something that he wants to do, and he wants to do that, and you want to stay with him. So it's on you not to be bothered by what he wants to do, because otherwise you are the addict. Like, he's not interested in claiming that label, perhaps, with what he's doing, but you are addicted to suffering over what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to stop.
How?
Well, the how you do that is the same as the how for every other human being. You are addicted to the ego conversation in conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm.
You are addicted to it. It has all, did you ever know anybody who is addicted to a soap opera?
Probably.
Yeah. And they don't miss it. Okay? It's as if it's real to them. And they know everything about the people. And if you say, do you want to go do this really fun thing? No, my show is on. Okay? And they will not miss that for anything in the world. That's where you are.
Yeah.
And that content in conditioned mind is a soap opera. It's a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week soap opera. And you're addicted to it.
The only
way you get a feel for that?
Sorry?
Can you get a feel for that?
I can, but this is what wakes me up, is the only solution I can come up with is to get out of the relationship, to stop that suffering.
Well, you know, I would support you about 1,000% in that. Yes, if for nothing else, to have a chance to turn this around for yourself. I mean, what you might want to do later on would be something else. But if you feel that you can't, that you cannot be in this relationship and have any level of help, then yes. Now, if you want to, you can turn it around. But you have to want to, which, again, is true for everybody. Right? Whatever ego identity we are addicted to, we have to want to end it.
Yeah, I do.
If we don't want to, then we complain about it and we still do it.
Yeah. No, I feel like I'm doing everything I can to stop, you know, recording on peace and so many things to try and not have this bother.
Okay.
In
so
me.
It's not having it bother you. It's learning to get your attention off of it. Yes,
right.
Not being bothered by it would be a really good step in the right direction. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing that you have to do is get your attention off of it, because it's attending to the story all the time that is what makes it bother you.
Right.
You're in there, in that conversation, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I am.
Yeah. And so you must stop doing that. So you must give the same devotion to something else that you are currently giving to that. Now, one of the things that you could do is make recordings of songs, happy, preferably, songs that you love, and you sing them. You have earbuds in, and you sing those songs all the time.
Okay.
You have recordings of all of the things that are beautiful in the world, all of the things that you love. Now, when I asked you that a while ago, you couldn't come up with anything, because that conversation in the head was blocking all of the possibilities. So it's turning your attention to, no, come on. What do I love? If I were to die tomorrow, what would I miss? Okay, what are my dreams? What are my if I could do anything in the world, if I could go anywhere in the world, where would that be? And you have those conversations. Why would you want to do that? Because it would make you happy, because it would be exciting, because it would be fun. That's shifting your attention to another reality. Now, is it imaginary? Yes, but so is the one you're currently addicted to. Okay, and it's an opening into, I'm looking outside right now, and everything is green. Everything is so lush and green, and there are little pink blossoms on the manzanita trees, and the sky is gray and blue and white with big clouds, and there's a Hotai statue on my porch. And okay, I can look out at that and just feel my heart open because it's so beautiful. That's where you got to get to, okay? Yeah. Not, I don't even see any of that because all of my attention is on this conversation inside my head. Mm-hmm. Got to put that aside. Get your attention here.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah?
Thank you. And I've signed up for the email class with you in April.
Good. Have you done? There's nothing wrong with you?
I haven't. And each time I've called you,
do it.
Okay.
Do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Do not hesitate. Yep.
Okay.
Do it. It's essential.
Okay.
Yeah. When you start making these recordings, just let her know that she has inside her Wonder Woman, a hero, okay, who can do this, who can take this on, who doesn't have to live in that kind of misery, who can conquer insomnia, who can live with a great big smile on her face because she's loving life so much that nothing is going to take her out of this moment and into some boring, stupid story about what somebody else is doing with their life.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay? You can do this. You can do this. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Michael.
Take care.
Bye.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carrie. What courage, Sherry. That's amazing.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and we just have to. I swear that's with karma, that's what happens. It just, will we do anything as long as we, it's kind of all things are equal. It's not that bad. Am I really happy? No. But it's not really that bad. And then it gets that bad. And finally we just say, yes. No, I got to do something about this. And that's really a good thing. That's a great moment. We can be grateful for those moments.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly so.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, we are going to hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll be back for another caller.
All right.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that we could live in a conversation about what is true, what is real, what is arising in life in the moment, instead of with the voices of karmic conditioning. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We now have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report, finding refuge in my own voice, strengthening the awareness of the mentor, and experiencing the 6 weeks as transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply go to livingcompassion.org. Click on Practice to find 2017 programs and then Recording and Listening Training. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence this year with the support of Recording and Listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. That sounds like a great program, Sherry.
Yeah, wasn't that fun? And so timely.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yes, and we have another call here.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Judy from San Francisco.
Well, hello, hey, Judy. What's going on?
I have a funny story to tell you.
Oh, good. I love those.
So a while ago, I talked to you about reviews and how I have a propensity for that, reviewing at night, how the day went, how yesterday went, how last year went.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked my husband, I wanted to ask him, does he review? Like, how? I was doing an experiment. Like, do other people do this too? And so I asked him, do you review? And he said, review what? He doesn't review. There's nothing. And I said, how do you not review? Because it's very challenging for me.
Uh-huh. Now, do you think he really does, but he doesn't recognize that he's doing it?
No, I think he doesn't do it. Because I ask him, well, what about things when you make a mistake, or, you know, you step on someone's toes, or you say something embarrassing? He says, no. Doesn't.
Huh. Huh. Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. So I thought, wow.
So where does that leave you? Like, there's a possibility that you don't need to do that.
Yes, exactly. Like, I don't have to do that.
Uh-huh.
That was really funny. And he didn't.
Yeah. And when did you have this conversation with him?
Maybe about 3 months ago.
And has it had an effect on your reviewing?
Yes, because I've caught on, like, at night when I am falling asleep. Like, oh, yeah, all right, this is that. Oh, yeah, I'm reviewing again. I'm aware of it, yeah.
Uh-huh. And that's really different, isn't it, from being available for insight or clarity? Mm-hmm. The one happens in conditioned mind, mm-hmm. and the other happens in the present. Right? So
being
you could be
for clarity.
Yeah. So, you know, you might even still be lying there at night, nothing else is going on. You're just kind of waiting to fall asleep, and there's an insight from something that happened during the day. And it could even be you get a sense of how somebody might have heard what you said or might have seen what you did or that sort of thing. And there's no judgment or criticism. It's just an insight. And you go, that's very helpful to consider. Versus the, and then you that, and why did you do that, and what do they think of that? And you, if you had done that, if you should, all those you voices. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So being present for the clarity is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course I think the review is a lot of what we do, what happens to us to keep us from being available for the clarity. Because if there's enough of that negative conversation about us, it just blocks out the insight. No room for the mm-hmm. insight to get through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So that's the next question for your husband. Right? What does, because a lot of, you know, women have intuition and guys have hunches.
Uh-huh.
Right? And, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. It'd just be interesting to see how he thinks about or talks about that moment of, well, you might say da-da-da-da-da, you know, in a meeting or I don't know what he does for a living, but, you know,
right.
in that kind mm-hmm. of situation where it just drops in and there's a hunch that this would be the way to go,
mm-hmm.
whereas you would have perhaps an intuition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Ask him how the clarity happens for him?
Yeah.
Is that what you think?
No, I mean, as long as we're doing research and we
yeah.
have these people in our lives, you know,
right.
who we can use in our research, we might as well do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again,
yeah,
it's that
yeah.
thing that I so wish. You know, there we are in kindergarten. We're all sitting around a little circle, and we're doing whatever it is that we're doing. But by the time we get to third grade, we start being really interested in how do you do that? How do you see that? How does that happen for you? Instead
mm-hmm.
of this is the right way, all of you need to do it. These people do it mm-hmm. really well. They get good grades. These people don't do it that well. They get bad grades.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to continue my research.
There you go. Yeah, and also with that, you know, when the review wants to start up to as you're saying, you know, you just know I'm not doing that. It means I want to be available for clarity. I want to know if there are any insights available to me. And
uh-huh.
I bet there will be.
Uh huh. It's similar to you know, muting the TV or turning off the TV or turning off the radio so that
yes.
you can hear the birds or kids playing outside, you know.
Exactly so. Yeah.
Turning it off.
You're available. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And all those things, the radio, the TV, all of that, don't they really, to a large extent, mimic what goes on in conditioned mind? You know, it's just the it's loud,
mm-hmm.
it's fast, it's you
repetitive.
Know, it's repetitive. It's all over the place. It's yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we can see what creates those distractions, those entertainments.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Very few
okay.
of them, I suspect, are created from center.
Mm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, I will report some more. I will report again.
All right. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Judy. Sherry, I think we have time for one more caller. It's about 7 minutes
oh, great.
To the hour now.
Oh, good. Lovely. Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
It's Ramita. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Ramita.
Hi, Ramita.
Oh,
what's
I'm so
excited. Going on in your world?
Well, I've been sitting here just right in tune with the conversations on the show tonight, and the process that I've been watching, Sherry, I feel like I've been going in and out of this storm of conditioned mind and like, oh my gosh, I'm in it. It's surrounding me, but I don't get engulfed. And then I pop out and I say, oh, look at that storm. It's going on, but I'm over here watching it. And I've been going back
uh-huh.
and forth with this process. And as I listen to the conversation tonight, it sounds like, you know, the there's nothing wrong is taking deeper root. So I'm not believing the conversation. I'm not getting as caught in content, but I'm seeing the process, and it's still having its way with me, but I have a different relationship with it.
Yes, it's kind of I have this image of I don't have this experience because I'm not a person who swims in the ocean, but I've certainly read and heard about people who are, and they get caught in one of those riptide things, and how you have to swim, you know, along the shore, and it's rolling you around, and then you get to the point where it kind of throws you up on the shore again, and that's what it sounds like. But when you're in it, it's really, but there's an awareness that is going on. And then you're out of it, and you can see it for what it is, and then there it goes again.
Yes, and it's you know, it's uncomfortable, but I know it's not real. So it feels like a kind of a new place, which has been kind of reassuring, you know, in my recording listening practice, you know, that there's a trust that. That I need to trust whatever it is going on, even if I can't see the big picture.
Yes. Yes.
And then
go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, just last night I had a Zen coaching experience, and I popped out and I saw a bigger picture, and I made a commitment to talk with you to see what your perspective is with this.
Oh, okay. Content or process?
Process.
Okay. Because what I got very excited about when you said that is, you're a detective again. I like that because I think that's the closest thing to what we do in awareness practice. And you're gathering clues, and conditioned mind doesn't want to gather clues. You know, it wants to know. And if you know, it doesn't matter what you know is right or true or anything, as long as you know. And if you don't know, that's a really wrong, bad place to be, right? But we are always gathering evidence, finding clues. And the thing about it is, for me anyway, is that there are, so I'm going along and I'm getting these clues. And something comes together. And I realize, oh, I can see that. But what I don't always realize is that little section, it's kind of like putting together a jigsaw puzzle, right? That little section is part of a larger section, and those are part of a larger section. And so we're putting these things together. We're seeing the relationships. We're seeing how it works. But we're not yet seeing the next layer of how that fits in with an even larger perspective.
Yes, yes, yes.
Is that kind of what it feels like?
It does, it does. And it felt like a breakthrough last night, recognizing that I need to ask for help. You know, there's part of my karma is I'm supposed to do this by myself, and if, you know, if I can't do it on my own, there's something wrong and blah, 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 blah. And I know that's not true, but I still tend to get isolated into, you know, putting the puzzle together myself. And what a help having my coach, having the guide to say, okay, look here, or here's how that piece goes with this piece.
So is there content with this?
Well, there's a physical injury a couple weeks ago, and I'm healing very well from it, but it's made the body very vulnerable. And that is on top of just completing another 2-week Colorado cleanse, which softens and opens the body anyway. So I've been doing a lot of body-focused awareness practice. So I think conditioning's been quite stirred up because of that.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And my coaching session last night, I made a recording, just like you said earlier, I can do this. I can do this. I'm beginning to see it. I can do this. And like a showdown with ego.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let it have my life.
And you know, Ramita, with that karma that you have, if I need to do this by myself, one of the fun things that you can do is, so wherever you are in this process, and just grab somebody who's available, you know, invite them to tea or whatever, and say, okay, now this is what's going on, and I'm seeing this and this and this and this, and this is happening, and I have an awareness of this. What do you think? And just hear what they have to say, right? And then get somebody else, and some you know, it'll be fascinating to watch what how you respond to it, whether there's a resonance, whether ego jumps up and says, that's not him. They don't understand. Why are you asking these people about? But it would be so interesting to see how you would frame it, you know, which parts of it, and then how you would respond or ego would react to what it is that they have to say. Because that I think all of us actually share a to some degree that karma of, I want to do this by myself. Whether I should or I just want to. I really don't want other people messing. I don't want advice.
I want it my way.
Yeah. I want to get it on my own. And actually, you know, advice is an amazing thing. It really is. If we just listen to what the person has to say and take it in as if they could be right about something, we can see a lot about our own karma and about what's actually going on with us.
So sharing either content or process, just letting life move me to share something with this person and just see what happens, see what they say.
Yes.
Just as an exercise of reaching out to ask for help. Okay.
Yes, breaking through that karma as well as getting some extra clues, getting some other detectives on the case. So I was doing something recently, and two different people said something to me that I found extraordinary. They both said a version of, you don't know when you're tired, and you don't know when you're hungry. And it was quite eye-opening for me. It was extraordinarily helpful. It answered a lot of questions.
Okay.
Yeah? Now, I mean, I've known me for a long time, right?
Yes.
And I hadn't noticed that. But as soon as they said it, it was like, oh, of course. I get it. But I hadn't had that experience on my own.
They saw one of the pieces of the puzzle that was off in a corner somewhere and said, this one fits here.
That's right. That's right, because I'm saying things like, you know, blah, 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 whatever it is that I'm constantly talking about. And the answer is, well, because you never know that you don't know when you're tired. Yeah?
Well, how fun will that be?
I don't know if that's helpful, but.
Well, I will certainly play with it. It sounds lighthearted, and that's always a good way to deal with karma. So I'll give it a shot.
Yes. Yeah. Enroll other people to assist.
Excellent.
People like to be helpful.
And they'll get into that expert identity of mine and let it go. Good.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much,
Sherry. I
can't wait
to hear.
I will.
Thank you, Ramita.
Good night.
All right, good. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Ramita. And thank you, Sherry, for another great open air. It was lovely.
It was fun, huh?
Inspiring and deep and courageous and helpful and all those good things.
All those things we like to do in practice, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Well, take good care of yourself. Talk to you next week.
You too. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Michael.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.